The text is the first reading, Acts 17, 1 through 15. I would say that Christians have studied coronaviruses more in the last 2 months than they have their Bibles. I'd say they've received more information about them than they have God's Word. Can you blame them? COVID-19, we're told, is life and death. Well, the receiving of God's Word is eternal life and death. So, how's your reception? Our text is the well-known comparison of the Thessalonians and the Bereans, with the former being the laggards and the latter the heroes. See if you can find a Thessalonica Lutheran church. I couldn't. You can find plenty of Bereans. But the Thessalonians, they get a bad rap. Their reception of the word was 5x5. That's radio jargon for saying you're receiving a radio signal as strong and then as understandable as possible. Loud and clear means the same. We know that's how the Thessalonians heard God's word because Paul tells us that in 1 Thessalonians 2:13. He says, "We also thank God continually because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as it actually is, the word of God." Well, is that us? I'd say you remember to wash your hands more than you remember your baptism. I'd say you received the CDC guidelines more seriously, dare I say reverently, than anything you've ever heard from this pulpit since March 22nd. I'd say that when you hear COVID-19, you think science and undeniable facts. But when you hear of angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, well, you think religious opinions. Not the Thessalonians. They received preaching as God's very words. They received, according to our text, three truths which are necessary if you are going to be saved, not from temporal death, which nobody can avoid, but eternal death. Truth number one they received: it was necessary for God's Christ to suffer because of your sins to the point of death. Truth number two: it was necessary for him to rise as proof that his death paid for all your sins. And the third truth they received, that God's Christ is none other than the man Jesus. How about you? You received the words out of my mouth that not only your sins, but the sins of the world were on the man Jesus when he was nailed to the cross. You received them as the actual words of God? Or do you think I'm merely telling you what the Bible means to me? And what it means to you is, well, just as valid. Do you think I'm giving you religious opinions when I preach to you of the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting? Well, if that's what you think, don't bother coming back. Stop listening and forget what you heard. Because if what I'm saying to you is nothing more than the words of a man, if they're not a thus says the Lord, then there is no forgiveness in them, there is no life in them, and there's no salvation either. The Thessalonians received the word of God 5x5, but it wasn't optimal reception either. The Bereans was. They received the word, the insert has message, but it's the word, Greek word, logos, just as it is in 1 Thessalonians 2. The Bereans received the word, however, they received it with great eagerness, literally with all readiness. The only other places that word is used in the New Testament is in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, where Paul speaks of the readiness to give. Here, the readiness is to hear, and explained by saying they were of more noble character than the Thessalonians, and that they examined the scriptures every day. But that's not what made their reception optimal. The next phrase is, they examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. Now, there's a lot of interpreting going on in that insert translation, but they're getting the point. They're trying to translate a rare Greek optative, which is rare in New Testament times. Now, here's my attempt. They examined the scriptures to say if they could possibly had the freedom from sin, from death, and the freedom from the power of the devil that they were hearing from Paul was in them. Those who've studied Luke with me over the years, they've reported something like this. They were overjoyed to hear the parable of the rich fool taught the joy of being rich in God rather than you must give to God richly. They thrilled that the Good Samaritan was Jesus, and they were the beaten up sinner rescued by him and carried to the inn of the church where Jesus paid all the bills. They rejoiced that the prodigal son didn't come to himself repenting, but was repented by his father running towards them. They joyed when they were told the only time Scripture records Jesus raising his hands is as he ascended into heaven, thereby showing those hands pierced by nails for us and our salvation are before the Father forever. They heard these things, yet struggled. They thought the rich fool was about richly giving towards God. They thought the Good Samaritan was about going and doing likewise. They thought the prodigal son came to repentance in the faraway land by himself. And they thought that Jesus raising his ascending hands was just a factoid. Ah, but then they saw that what these things really were. What joy, what comfort, what hope, what peace. The Thessalonians didn't do that. Go home and read the two letters Paul writes them. Not examining the scriptures they nevertheless received as God's word, that led to them having problems with the end of the world, the resurrection of the dead, doing daily work, and even married sexuality. I mentioned the latter to tempt you to actually go home and read those two short letters. Examine them. And as I tell confirmation kids, if I gave bonus points, I would give them to the first person who could tell me the chapter and verse where Paul addresses the marriage issue. So how about you? Do you examine the scriptures to see if what I'm saying, they really do say? If not, you have what Luther called coal miner's faith. When asked what he believed, the coal miner said he believed what the church believed. And when asked what the church believed, he said the church believed what he did. Luther said, God preserve us from such a faith as this. Why? Because it's faith in faith. It's not faith in what God says and what God does and what God promises. Though the reception of the Thessalonians was 5 by 5, it was not optimal. The Bereans was. But what does that look like? It looks like the Energizer Bunny, empowered to go on and on and on, especially where the bunny kept popping up in commercial spots that you didn't think were about Energizer batteries. You know, the pink bunny is not the power. The batteries are the power. And while the Bereans' reception of Scripture was optimal, we go back to the Thessalonians for what that looks like. I quoted to you only the first part of 1 Thessalonians 2:13. Here's the whole verse. We also thank God continually, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as the word of men, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is at work in you who believe. That phrase, at work in, is the Greek word energo, from which we get our word energy and energize. So Paul tells the Thessalonians that the word of God they received through his mouth was energizing those who believe. That's a present participle, which means it's ongoing. Like the bunny, it goes on and on and on, and even when you think it must be done by now, it keeps on going. However, we want to be clear here. Paul does say, which is energizing you who believe, but do not put the emphasis, do not put the power on that last word, believe. If you do that, when the Energizer Bunny turns to show the batteries that's keeping them going and going, one of them is going to be labeled faith or believing. And that would be fatal. For that makes your faith, your believing, a power source. Then you're Dorothy. As long as you can believe, all you need to do is click your heels together saying there's no place like home. As long as you can believe that, you'll get there. Then you're the little engine that could. As long as you can go from I think I can, to believing I know I can, well, then you'll get up the mountain. Believing does not give God's word its power. Believing receives the power of the word. Likewise, your extension cord does not produce power. It receives it from the outlet and transmits it to your lamp. An extension cord plugged into an outlet without power, no matter how thick, no matter how heavy, no matter how new that extension cord might be, receives no power, transmits no power. All the faith in the world, faith the size of coconuts, not mustard seeds, in what God's word does not say, can't even move a dust bunny, let alone a mountain. Faith in what God has not said, has never promised, does not energize anyone. You see where the rubber hits the road here? Not in how much faith I have or don't have. Not in how thick or big my extension cord is. But to what is it plugged into? Is my faith plugged into the genuine word of God, what he said, what he promises, or into something else? See the pink Energizer bunny. See him boldly, forcefully pounding that drum away as he goes on and on and on and then some. Then he twirls around to expose the batteries that power him. Quick, what words are printed on those batteries? Word and sacrament. That's where all that Jesus did for a world of sinners is found for sinners. That's where the holy life Jesus lived in your place is for you. That's where the guilty, damned death Jesus died in your place is for you. That's where the fruit of what Jesus did and suffered for all mankind is found for you. There, in word and sacrament, is where it is delivered to you. To the Jerusalem crowd who realized their guilt, Peter said, receive baptism for the forgiveness of your sins. To David, who confessed the guilt of adultery and murder, Pastor Nathan said, the Lord has put away your sin. To countless sinners confessing their sins of deeds, words, and thoughts, Jesus has said in the Holy Communion, take, eat, take, drink. This is my body given for you. This is my blood shed for you. You want strength for daily living? You want strength for the daily dying to fear, to sin, to worry, to death itself that Paul calls us to? It's in word and sacrament. Be like the giant Antaeus of Greek mythology. Born of the earth to keep alive, he had to touch the earth as often as every 5 minutes. But each time he did, he became twice as strong. All children of Adam are born of the earth. Children of the second Adam are reborn of word and sacrament. That's where they receive their strength from, and it's more than double. It's eternal. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.